I think I've come into peace and acceptance that this is just the way I was born, even with all the other constellation of things that have happened. So I've learned a lot about myself and my purpose here on Earth and my purpose with CHD. It's pretty cool. I've had a very, very good life, so I'm extremely, extremely grateful.
Welcome to Heart to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski and the host of your program. I'm also a heart mom. My son, Alexander, was born with a single ventricle heart. He is post-Fontan and will turn 27 years old in August of 2021. Today's show is Heart Warrior Psychologist and Author, and our guest is Joy Ogawa. We'll start today's program by learning a little bit about Joy and her medical condition in segment one. In the second segment, we'll talk about her experience living with congenital heart disease, or CHD. And then the final segment, we'll learn whether or not Joy's heart defect influenced her career choice. Joy was born in Hawaii with tetralogy of Fallot in 1979 and had an open heart surgery at 22 months of age. She considers herself lucky to have only experienced one surgery in her lifetime. Despite other health issues affecting her eyes, ears, abdomen, and her emotional well-being, Joy was able to participate in physical activities and complete her education and is now a psychologist working in corrections and public safety. Joy highlights her experience of living with CHD in her newly released, self-published, illustrated children's book, I Am a Heart Warrior. Welcome to Heart to Heart with Anna, Joy.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me.
I'm very happy to have you here. Let's start by talking about your congenital heart defect and where you had your first surgery.
Sure. The heart murmur was picked up at birth by my pediatrician. And it was diagnosed by my pediatric cardiologist, a fabulous woman, the late Dr. Frances Nakamura. And she diagnosed me with it. So my surgery was at Queen's Hospital in Honolulu, Hawaii. A lot of people don't think we have hospitals here in Hawaii, but we really do. We've attracted the best and the brightest, and I'm so, so grateful. I was 22 months old. I wasn't even 2 years old yet when I had my tetralogy of Fallot surgery. It was performed by Dr. Richard Mamiya, who I sent you a picture of. That picture was taken moments before I was taken into the operating room, and I had no clue. And I don't remember a thing about it.
You were so young, I would be surprised if you did remember it, because most of us don't have many memories of when we were 22 months of age.
Right. And my doctors told my parents she has to have surgery before age 4, which is preschool age, because they said that's about the time that memories form. And we don't want her to have memories of being in the hospital and being sick and of all the pain.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So you don't really have any memories then, do you?
No, not really. Had it not been for my scar, I wouldn't have much physical proof. And I have very, very few pictures of the surgery. I don't have any pictures of me being really sick, being a classic blue baby. My parents just did not think to take pictures like that.
Well, that was back in the 70s. We didn't all have phones that had cameras. Mm-hmm. Most of our phones were attached to the walls that time.
That's true.
Things were a little bit different technology-wise. I'm actually not too surprised that your parents don't have a whole lot of pictures from back then. I'm curious, were your parents told that you were fixed after your surgery?
No, that's an interesting question. And I didn't actually ever get asked that question until now as an adult. I'm 41, for crying out loud. But in general, my parents never told me that I was fixed. And in fact, we never really talk about it at all. To this day, if I get curious about something, if I'm writing about it, or if I'm really having a bad day and I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is my heart, I'll ask my parents and they kind of brush it off. They're like, oh, we don't know. We don't remember. Or, oh, I have to ask your father. They never really talk to me about it at all.
Wow, that's kind of surprising, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think it's because my poor parents, I'm an only child, so I don't think they expected this version of me. I think my mother blocked it out, blocked out a lot. I think my dad, being a dentist, he's a little more comfortable around medical things. I think he remembers more, but again, we never ever talk about it. I think it's because we're Asian. I don't know. That's a little joke. I don't really mean that. But yeah, no, it's curious. We never ever talked about it. I have to bring it up.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Of course, you only had one surgery. Did you have many hospitalizations as a child?
No. If anything, it was just same day surgery for my ears and my eyes. Yeah, I was extremely, extremely lucky amongst my peers. For one, that I survived the tetralogy of Fallot surgery, and two, that I only had that one surgery. But I was in and out of the hospital. I'm very used to being around hospitals and doctors for the different things that have come up in my life.
Right. So you were saying in your bio that you've had eye issues and some other medical issues. Tell me about your eyes. What did you have wrong with your eyes?
Well, I just think I was just born with quote unquote bad eyes. They were just really weak. It was hard for me to see. My eyes still to this day, they get really tired if I have to read a lot, if I have to stare at a screen for a long time. So I had that muscle relaxing surgery. Forgive me, I don't know the technical term of that, but I have lazy eyes.
So you had eye surgery at 13?
Yeah, it's a muscle relaxing surgery so that the pupil doesn't wander off and so that you can focus.
Wow. You were a teenager. Was that really traumatic for you?
The after part, yeah, because I had them both done at the same time. The summer, I think, before the seventh grade. And so both my eyeballs were black and blue.
Oh, wow.
It was really sore. And I remember being at my auntie and my grandma's house in Hawaii on Oahu to recover. But it was great because I discovered the real world, which was MTV's first reality series, and time passed, but it was really, really painful. I'm grateful I don't remember my open heart surgery because I can't imagine what the pain must have been like after that if my eyes are really sore.
Well, yeah. And then you said you had problems with your ears as well. What have you had to have done to your ears?
Well, just to finish up with the eyes, finally it was all solved when I had LASIK surgery because I had glasses. And then finally when my vision stabilized at age 21, and I was of age, I had LASIK eye surgery, which corrected my vision to 20/20. So I'm very grateful for that.
So the one surgery actually was on the muscles of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
then the LASIK surgery was on the eye itself.
Right. For
so you've had two eye correction. Surgeries. Wow.
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
Okay.
So my ear, I have really tiny inner ear, even now as an adult. And that was done at Queen's Hospital and other hospitals. And then towards the end, I think I was about 13 or 14 years old. The technology had improved to where I didn't need to check into the hospital same day surgery for it. We could do it in the office with a local anesthetic.
Wow.
But it was better than chronic ear infections because chronic antibiotic use is no good either, right?
Right.
So it was a way to control the inner ear fluid and my balance without medication that could end up making things worse.
Absolutely. What other medical conditions have you had to deal with? And do you think that these problems might be related at all to your tetralogy of Fallot?
Well, the biggest other health issue I've had is long bouts of severe stomach pain in which I can't eat and I lose a lot of weight. And I've been told it's just acid reflux. I've had colonoscopies done. Anyway, long story short, this year has been quite a doozy for me with that. Yes, I do think it's all related to my heart because I had a genetic test done.
So do they think that maybe you have a syndrome? I know I've heard 22q deletion is something that I need to know more about, but it seems like that's a specific condition that can sometimes have a constellation of problems with it. Is what you have something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, this all started out because my gastroenterologist found polyps in my colon at age 40, which is 10 years prior to even the beginning of screenings for colon cancer. And with my family history, he thought I might have had Lynch syndrome, which is named after a family that has generations of people dying from colon cancer. Turns out I don't have Lynch syndrome or Lynch-like syndrome. I do have a deletion in my DNA. And also I have another mutated gene that makes me at a much higher inherited risk for gastrointestinal or colorectal cancers. It doesn't have a specific name because it's two different genes, but I do now have to do a colonoscopy and an endoscopy about every 2 years or so.
Wow. You're very young to have to go through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had such severe bouts of abdominal pain over the last year and a half. That's completely unexplained. But interestingly, the genetic test could not conclusively conclude that my higher inherited risk to these types of cancers was due to my heart, but they said it was a possibility. And I believe it is. I believe it's all connected.
One Tonight Forever by the Baby Blue Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever.
This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart to Heart with Anna.
Joy, in the first segment, we got a chance to learn about the fact that you had tetralogy of Fallot. In this segment, I want to learn a little bit more about what it was like for you to grow up with a CHD. Can you tell us if you were able to go to school and take part in extracurricular activities like your peers?
Yeah, like I addressed in my book, my open heart surgery repaired me so that I could function relatively normally compared to my peers. I did really well in school, so I had two master's degrees and a bachelor's from a very fine university. I also achieved a second degree black belt in Aikido, which is a Japanese martial art that I had been doing since age 8. And wow. I had a relatively normal, happy, somewhat healthy, productive, memorable childhood.
And do you say somewhat healthy because of the eye issues and the stomach issues that we were just talking about?
Yeah, the ear issues. I have family on Oahu, and my mom recalls that I was out here to Oahu like once a month growing up for specialists, for follow-ups and checkups and different things. So yeah, that part made me a little different from my peers.
Mm-hmm. What about when you were a teenager? Because all teenagers kind of feel like they're different than their peers. But I've spoken to enough heart warriors to know that the feeling of being different is exacerbated when you have a scar from open heart surgery. Did that affect you psychologically?
I'm in the minority with this. I could be a little weird. I've always been very proud of my scar. From the time, I think I was like 5 or something, I remember
you know, when you're taking a bath and stuff and you look in the mirror, I was like, oh, cool. I always thought it was so cool. And then as a teenager, changing the locker room for gym in high school, yeah, that was a little weird, but there are other reasons for that. My scar was not something I was ever ashamed of. In fact, I would kind of like show it off. And my friends would be like, oh my God, gross, put on your shirt. I'm like, no, it's really cool. Come here, feel it. Like, no, no, I don't want to touch it. So I never really felt different in a bad way.
That's great. And I love that in your book too. The little girl in your book, who I assume mm-hmm. is you, didn't seem to be embarrassed about the mm-hmm. scar at all.
Mm-hmm. I might have an ego about it. If anything happens to my scar, like I get a little something on it, I get all mad. I love it. I would go jogging without a shirt on if it weren't for my panda bear tummy, just to show off my scar. But
you I scare so people funny. From that. Well, I love it that it's not something that you find embarrassing, and that you wear it like a badge of honor, and I think you should, because not everybody who has a scar like that has survived to your age. So mm-hmm. you go, girl.
Thank you. And actually, we have to thank my surgeon for that, because he finished the entire scar instead of an intern. So it's nice and flat and even.
That is nice.
And it's grown, and its skin tone has evened out as I grew.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice, because I do know that there are some girls especially mm-hmm. who have not had the prettiest scars, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're a little bit lopsided, and sometimes they debate whether or not they need to go back in and have plastic mm-hmm. surgery mm-hmm. when they get older yeah. because they are embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But for you to have the surgeon work from beginning to end so that it would be consistent, that's really very sweet.
Oh, yeah. Another reason I'm very grateful to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what has been your greatest challenge in growing up with a congenital heart defect?
Well, I think, ironically, the greatest challenge is now with my CHD. Because as I get older, I'm more physically active now. And my energy ebbs and flows, and I have to realize I don't have the same cardiac stamina as my peers, which is very, very frustrating, because I'm really stubborn. Once I get into my head, I'm going to do this, and my body won't let me. Oh boy, it's a fight. It's very, very frustrating.
I can totally relate. I just celebrated a birthday last month, and my body is letting me know that I'm older.
Yeah, exactly. The whole lament of getting older, but with this extra element to it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I feel a lot older than I really am.
Now, you said that you did Aikido, right?
Yes, yes.
Is that something that you still keep up?
Well, during the pandemic, no, because it's all face-to-face, right? Yeah, but in general, yes, I do. Aikido is a martial art, so it is physically challenging, but yet it's something I could do because it was in bursts of energy. It wasn't,
It wasn't like an endurance sport.
Right, exactly. It wasn't an endurance sport. I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Aikido a throwing sport? I know my boys were in Taekwondo, mm-hmm. and that's very different than Aikido.
Aikido is a lot more self-defense. It was born out of World War II in Japan. So it's not combative, but what I liked about it was there was a lot of balance to it. Mm-hmm. So besides the arts, which does involve attacking and throwing, there was elements of meditation to calm.
Kind of center yourself, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. center and balance yourself and let your attacker's energy kind of throw themselves, kind of a thing. You kind mm-hmm. of throw it back at them. And yeah, so there was kind of a beauty to it. There was some kind of dancing energy or element to it.
I bet that has helped you as you were growing up, having that sense of balance and mm-hmm. being aware of your body and space.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, tremendously. The discipline of a martial art with its culture has helped me tremendously in a lot of ways.
So you were saying that your greatest challenge with your CHD didn't happen to you as a little girl or even as a teenager, but you're experiencing it now. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, especially any psychological issues? Because I've spoken with a lot of people lately who have talked about how COVID has affected them and how it has increased their anxiety, it's increased their depression. And that seems to be true whether you have a heart defect or not. I've talked to a lot of people who are not enjoying the isolation and don't like not being able to touch or give hugs or have that human experience that all of us need.
Yeah, having that human connection, being able to gather and do things with your friends and family that you ordinarily wouldn't give a second thought to is really strange. And having to keep your distance from your friends, even, you know, while active, that's all very unnatural. For me, the emotional challenges of CHD, I think, have always been with me, but I never really acknowledged them until I was an adult and got interested in psychology. So I've had big bouts of great depression and anxiety, for which I've had a really great therapist who really helped me understand it and helped me take control over it. Part of it with anxiety and depression, from what I understand, is with my type of CHD, my heart wasn't structured properly to be able to pump oxygen-rich blood throughout my body, which includes my brain. And so I think it just leaves me more susceptible to depression and anxiety, especially during periods of chronic stress.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, a handbook for parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more.
Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
So we kind of ended on not the happiest note before the break, and I kind of want to pick it back up there, Joy. Let's start by talking about why you studied psychology in graduate school, and I wonder if it has anything to do with what we were just talking about and how throughout your life you have had to deal with some depression.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer, huh?
Well, I mean, it's real though, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's stuff that no one talks about. So let's see. So what led me to psychology? Well, I actually thought I was going to be a pediatric cardiothoracic surgeon, like Dr. Mamiya, who saved me, because that was my model, right?
And
I come from a family of dentists, and I thought I'd somehow go into the medical field. But medical school is a long commitment. Then I had a very bizarre chiropractic neck injury in my early 20s, and I had a really great therapist, a psychiatrist, who was just so awesome. I mean, he drew cartoons for me of what my brain chemicals was doing, and he never pushed medication, and he was so supportive and informative and very gentle and caring. And I said, hey, you've really made a difference in my life all these years, and I want to do what you do. I want to still kind of be in the medical field and help people, but with my knowledge and my experience.
That's wonderful. That's so beautiful. But how interesting that you thought you might be a cardiothoracic surgeon when you were younger. I just think that's delightful.
My dad's probably going to laugh at that line. Like, ha ha, yeah, right.
I could never have done it because I don't do well with blood. And there's a lot of blood involved in
there's a lot of, in surgery and CHD. And
you have to be able to have a much stronger stomach than what I do. So, yeah, I knew I was never going to be a surgeon. But I think it's really interesting how you got into psychology. And you know, the other thing I think that's interesting, Joy, is that you started to see a psychiatrist, it sounds like, from a young age. I wonder if it's because your parents were enlightened because they were well-educated and they knew that that would be something that would help you, because nobody ever talked to me about taking my son to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And I would imagine that probably most heart warriors, if not most people overall, would benefit from seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist at some point in their lives.
To clarify, and I apologize for this impression, I didn't see a psychiatrist for sleep problems or anxiety and depression until I was like 25, and that was on my own following the chiropractic neck injury. But you're right, prior to that, I had seen different types of talk therapists, so psychologists, on and off through the years. And it was actually always me. My parents, I think, were a little like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? I think they thought I was a little too emotional and too brainy for my age. I don't think they really quite knew what to expect, but I sought out different types of therapists over the years by myself, just because I was interested, and I'm like, something is wrong with me. Help me. And it turned out, I think it was just everyday stuff, but a lot of it, I think, had to do with my heart and just emotionally, psychologically. Okay, I have this scar. I could have died when I was a baby. What does all that mean? And but I think talk therapy really does help. It can help a lot of people with a variety of things. You don't need to have CHD too.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I'm impressed that your parents heard your plea for help and didn't ignore you or think she's just emotional, but that, hey, if she's asking for it, then she probably needs it. And they honored you.
Yeah, I think they just had to realize that, I think, being born with a heart condition, I would need specialized care for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And that included emotional, psychological, because I was very fortunate. They got me ear specialists and eye specialists and, every other body part specialist could think of.
Yeah, that's a lot to deal with, Joy.
Well, I think it's all wraparound care. I think you have to address everything, but be consistent about it. Yeah, find people who can help you and not steer you down the wrong path.
Right. So it sounds like you were going through a lot of different transitions with your eyes and your ears, and your heart transition actually happened really early. But because of that scar, it sounds like it was something that left a lasting impression on you and caused you to be a little bit more introspective. Do you feel that it's important to introspectively look at your life as a heart warrior?
Yeah, I think so, but not too much. My psychiatrist told me, yes, you are very introspective, but that can be a little dangerous. You have to know when to stop, but yet you have to learn balance. When do I listen to what's going on, and when is it just too much? I think I'm naturally introspective, which I think is part of the writing outlet, thankfully, that I have.
Well, let's talk about that next. So what caused you to want to write your book?
Well, I always thought it'd be a really cute little illustrated kid's book. Me as a kid, having my surgery, because I do have those pictures. I only have a few pictures from my surgery and being in the hospital. And like a lot of kids, when you look back on your baby pictures, you think, wow, I was cute. So I just always envisioned an illustrated kids book about my surgery. And now as an adult, I realize with that insight, hopefully my story in kind of a cheerful, positive way can serve as a guidebook for CHD babies and kids and their families and their doctors and the nurses and people that work with us. mm-hmm. to kind of know, okay, this is the really lucky path that can happen for our CHD kid.
Right, and it seems mm-hmm. to be that now statistics have been turned on their head. When my son mm-hmm. was first born 27 years ago and was diagnosed with hypoplastic left heart syndrome, they told us then that only 1 in 4 children who survived the Norwood survived till age 5. And now it's the opposite. Now it's like 3 out of 4 kids wow. make it to age 5 and older. And there's this actually rather large cohort of people who are making it to their 30s, 40s, 50s mm-hmm. with a variety of heart defects. And I think there's a lot to be gained from that. And I think your book is great because it's another piece of the puzzle to try and figure out, who am I? What's going on? Am I the only one? And then you pick up this book and you're like, no, wait a minute. Joy had this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all puzzle pieces. And yeah, it's all connected. It's all, hey, this could be my kid. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to try and add some positivity and some hope to that big jigsaw of a puzzle that's CHD.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the book. It's adorable. I'm sure people are going to be interested in looking at the book or buying the book. Where can they find your book, Joy?
Yeah, that would be great. So it's called I Am a Heart Warrior, and it's available on Amazon. They can simply search the title, and there it is.
And I'll be including a link to that in the show notes for those of you who are exercising or driving or don't have a pad of paper and pencil handy. Don't worry about it. All you'll have to do is click in the show notes, and that's the description of the show. And I'm really excited to have you on the program, Joy, as an author, and am so happy to hear that things seem to be getting better for you now with your eyes, and it seems like you've kind of come to a sense of peace with your heart defect well enough to put out this book of hope for others.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, Anna. Yeah, I think I've come into peace and acceptance that this is just the way I was born, even with all the other constellation of things that have happened. I've learned a lot about myself and my purpose here on Earth and my purpose with CHD. And it's pretty cool. I've had a very, very good life, so I'm extremely, extremely grateful.
Well, I am grateful to have met you, Joy. Thank you so much for coming on the program today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Anna. This was fun.
It was fun. And we'll have to have you come back on the show later if you find that heart and belly buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, that would
talking
be great.
About earlier.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be so great. Okay, friends, so if you too have tetralogy of Fallot and you have had tummy problems or eye and ear problems and you can relate to what Joy has had happen to her, reach out to me on the show and I'll connect the two of you, because everybody needs a buddy. Everybody needs to know they're not the only one. But that does conclude today's episode of Heart to Heart with Anna. Thanks for listening today, my friends. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider throwing a little love our way. We have a company called Patreon, where you can make a small monthly donation to help us keep our podcast free to the world, or you can just support us with PayPal. All you have to do is visit our website, heartsunitetheglobe.org, and you can sign up there to be a patron or support us with PayPal. We really do appreciate it. And that's it for this week. So please remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have been inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart defect community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host Anna Jaworski, can be heard every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.